from Studio Live in beautiful Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef and your host, Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Howlett. And we would like to thank you again for joining us as we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond.
This is episode 130, Food, Art, Is There a Connection?
And tonight's episode, we're joined by Natalie Nickerson, newly appointed poet laureate of the Comox Valley. And we'll get to talking to her in just a moment. But how you doing, John?
Ah, I'm getting used to the heat. Yeah. Surviving the May long weekend. And now here we are ready for moving into summer, I guess.
Right.
Is what's happening with us right now. So
it definitely feels like summer right now.
Well, and we were talking, well, what's happening coming up soon is the Elevate the Arts.
Right. Yeah, that's right around the corner.
Just coming up really quick. Yeah. And so I ran into Natalie and I thought, what a perfect person to come and talk and see if we can make that connection between food, art, and how it all comes together.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, let's get right in and talk to Natalie.
All right.
Hello.
Natalie, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
So can you just tell us a little bit about what the Poet Laureate is?
Mm-hmm. So the Comox Valley Arts Council decided to create this position 2 years ago. Kevin Fletcher was the first appointed Poet Laureate. And I'm basically a cultural ambassador. My role is to increase literacy, poetic literacy in the community. And that basically means exposing people to poetry readings. And to, doing all kinds of things like workshops, public appearances. Anyone in the community can request me as a presenter.
Wow.
They can request that I write a poem for a specific event. So I have done that twice now, just since my appointment, which I believe was in March.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have been very busy. I've read at probably almost a dozen events.
Wow.
Since my appointment. Yeah. And then writing furiously.
Yeah, you said something too about that you also get to play a hand in developing programs or playing a part in developing future programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like programs as in workshops.
I guess.
Well, it's open. It's really open. I can do really whatever I want to within the poetic sphere of things. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah. I really am, as cultural ambassador for poetry, meant to get out there and advocate for poetry as much as I can. So, and I think that's why they chose me, appointed me, because out of all the candidates, I, at this point in time, maybe was the most enthusiastic.
Right.
I really think poetry has such power and the ability to really move people and get them in touch with parts of themselves and parts of the world that they're not normally in touch with.
Yeah.
And using a language that is, not an everyday language.
Right.
Something that's familiar in some way to us because we use still words that everyone knows, but also has got something a little more than just the familiar.
Right.
Something a little of the mystery, which leads me directly into what John mentioned about art.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that poetry as an art is an art because of its proximity to mystery.
Right. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Because John and I actually, we shared a vehicle on the way over to the studio and we were talking about, it was sort of the perfect title for the episode because he was saying, does food count as art? Like, can food be interpreted? And I guess you would just really have to determine what is art, right? And does it fit that definition?
Yeah, right.
And when you're in that context, when you're saying, that the mystery, well, I can definitely equate that and relate that to food for sure. And exploring that or the mystery of putting it together or, interesting.
I feel that art and food can fit into the same category, just as poetry and art can fit into the same. Art is such an umbrella term, but both can also fail to be art.
Yeah. That's a good point. It really is, because you can't just say just because it's food, it's art. You can't call Kraft macaroni art.
That's right.
I mean, you maybe could in lots of other different contexts, but just in a big, broad generalization, you couldn't. But I mean, you could definitely say you know, somebody being a little more experimental or moving out of the norm, it starts to encroach on that. Is it now art or is it becoming art? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm giving it in the loosest context possible, but.
And it's an interactive thing too. I think of art, art is not something that stands alone. It requires participation from another.
Right.
So an observer, or in the case of food, the person eating the food. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that popped in my head as I was working today, and this knowing I was doing this podcast in the back of my mind, I kept getting little ideas about how food and poetry could be similar under this umbrella of art. And one of those things was the way in which the participant like imbibes it.
Right.
So the reading of a poem is just as important as the eating of food. You know, you right. don't gobble down this delicious meal that was prepared with care and expect to get something
right.
worthwhile and enriching experience from that.
Right.
You eat it carefully, slowly.
I love that description yeah. there. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense to me, because I find a lot of people, when you do definitely like courses, dinners and stuff like that, and there's like a rhythm to how you're trying to put it all together, and it's that sitting down and enjoying it and getting the flavors. It's the same with poetry, as the flow of how it goes. So
mm-hmm. right mm-hmm. yeah,
that's actually very pretty.
Mm-hmm. The participation part of it,
yeah, and the how you consume it, you know, like as you're saying, definitely. Interesting.
Another aspect that I thought was similar is that both provide sustenance during times of low energy.
Oh, yeah.
It's yeah. true. It's very true. I'm having this picture right now of a couple of my English teachers shaking their head at me right now when I failed miserably in English class or did very poorly in few assignments there. And now I've got this a whole new appreciation for poetry and English and just the language in general. So, mm-hmm. And it's nice to have you here just to talk to us a little bit about that mm-hmm. and sort of make the connection from something that I find so dear, which is food.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And has become a full passion of mine to be able to make those connections with.
Mm-hmm. And passion is an interesting word to bring into this, because I really feel that that is another one of the key ingredients to this umbrella of art.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if you were to compare the way you attended to your English classes back then to how you might attend to a poem or language now, you might notice that you have more passion now than you right. did then.
Yeah, oh, totally. Mm. I completely appreciate that. So I'm for just sure. actually even thinking of dinners now. I've got this whole thought process going through my head of just doing these course dinners and stuff like that, and just doing that whole rhythm
yeah.
of how it should flow from beginning to end, and just that... the taste, you should have that, mm-hmm. those high points and those low points. That's quite interesting. Mm-hmm. So
I'm sure that maybe your planning process for creating a meal or even like a coursed dinner, so creating several parts of a meal mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. with many different flavors, the process maybe that you go to with the intention that you have and then your skill set from your years of experience, all of those working together in this complex way are probably, your process is probably very similar to mine as a writer
right.
of poetry. You could draw many metaphors there, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, I don't need to necessarily wrap it up, but I mean, I think that just that succinctly right there sort of addresses the question that we were originally asking, like, can we say that food is art? And I'm not saying that we've answered it for everyone the world over, but I think that right now we've quantified it and said that yes, the creation of food and the appreciation of food can definitely be considered art, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did end up writing a poem.
Yeah, I wanted to get to this part now. I know that you ended up, that you said you had some, you brought a few pieces.
I was originally thinking I didn't have time to write a poem.
Are you kidding? You wrote a poem?
I actually wrote a poem for this.
Okay, so just for context too, we're recording this at 6 o'clock and I called Nat at 3-ish to make sure that she was coming. So you wrote and you said, I wanted to write something, but I didn't yet.
Mm-hmm. I had it partly written.
Oh, wow.
And because it does take time. So for all the listeners out there, what you need to know is that I revise. So this first
right.
preview of the poem may not likely be the very finished product.
Interesting.
But I feel that it's a decent start. So I'm happy to share it.
Okay, we would love to hear it.
Yes. It might be like the amuse-bouche of the final poem.
Yeah, that's okay. Awesome.
Wonderful.
Again, the title may change. Right now it is The Poem as Food. As perennial as asparagus, the provenance of poetry, indeed the origin of art, peaks through the earth after the good rain and sunbeams, after mystery has puckered her lips for an earthbound kiss. Like potatoes in the pantry, sprouting eyes in the dark, and the walnut waiting patiently inside the hard shell. Like any number of wild seeds that could unravel their mystery in a sudden burst of trumpet green, or in a pestled almond paste at the bottom of the mortar. And for whom? We think we know this world, the familiar kneading of bread, the boiling of soup. And yet, what is that flavor? From where did it come? Whose leaf was dried? Whose stalk was minced? What zest, what bulb was robbed of this immense fragrance, this keen explosion on my tongue that tasting I would taste again and again if I didn't know better? Savor the flavor. I'm grateful I learned, for it comes as a gift, one of those that springs upon us without warning, one of those whose power can slow, and in slowing reveals the Tuscan field that grew the grape, the grandmother's hands who kneaded the dough, the smell of roses wafting through the screen door. And I vowed to develop my palate, my taste for complexity, for the particular in poems and things that nourish, that I may feast not only on familiarity, but also on wonder.
Thanks.
Well, thank you. I want to applaud, but I don't know if you can hear that on the
thank you.
On the microphone. Thank you so much. Oh, that was beautiful.
My pleasure.
It's funny because I know you outside of this, and we've had many conversations over the years, and I noticed that when I hadn't noticed before, you're definitely much more particular in your words, and very. I like the way that as you're presenting them, like you're giving it... I don't know. I think that you're using your voice more than I know known you to use before. It's very interesting. I like it.
Thanks, Darren.
I think that's a bit of that passion coming out of
you. Yeah, a little bit of that passion.
Yeah.
Just be happy that we're not drinking wine right now.
That's right. So I want to go into a little bit about as your role as an ambassador for this community.
Mm-hmm.
How would you... What do you like to say about this community? How do you want to sell this to the world?
Or are you trying to? Are you trying to?
That's a good question. Well, I feel that Poet Laureate is a very important position. One of the poems, I don't have it on me, that I wrote was 10 Reasons Why a Community Needs a Poet Laureate. And they were the top 10 reasons. I was inspired by David Letterman's top 10 list. And there are so many reasons. Mainly, I feel that, like I said before, we move at such a fast pace that so much of life isn't actually appreciated for what it is in that moment. We're constantly planning, moving ahead, thinking of the future, even if it's only a half an hour away or 60 minutes away. We so often don't live in the present moment, which is, you know, what a good meal can do is ground you in that present moment. Whoa, mm-hmm. That flavor, you bite into something and it's a flavor explosion that stops your thinking, stops everything. And a good poem can do that too. And in fact, the process of writing a poem can do that too. Mm-hmm. So what I am hoping to achieve over the next 2 years is to just touch just even a few people. I mean, I know it would be great if I could touch hundreds, but I don't know if that's possible. But, you know, I was thrilled the other night. I spoke at the Comox Valley Writers Society, and they had given me a list of questions to answer and to dialogue with. And one woman said at the end, wow, you know, that Mary Oliver poem that you read, I've never heard of her. I'm embarrassed to say, but I boy, have you ever inspired me to get back into poetry? And it brought tears to my eyes to hear that.
That's exactly what you're...
That's exactly what my mission is. And so what a wonderful treat, you know, when there's no need to be embarrassed. Lots of people don't know who Mary Oliver is. But the fact that with that one poem, I was able to inspire her.
Yeah.
What a joy. So,
yeah, that's fantastic.
So in terms of things coming up, I am at Elevate. I'm hosting 10 different poets on Saturday from 2 to 4 at the Lower Sieveg. I'm not sure if this will be aired before then, but...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. We're going to say yes.
Okay. Anyway, so everyone is welcome. That's an open door. You can just come and go as you please. Each poet will read for about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So between those 2 hours, I'll be giving an introduction for each poet. I'll be reading as well. I'm one of the 10. And then on June 9th at the Lower Sieveg, I'm hosting a workshop. It's part of the community image to text to image show that is happening for the month of June at the Comox Valley Art Gallery. So that was that's a community show, meaning that a call went out to... Mm-hmm. Members of the art gallery and the community at large. Anyone could put a piece of art in. I don't know what the process was, if it was judged, or I'm not sure, but I know anyone could apply to have a piece. And then I'm this month's Make Art Project Facilitator. Every month there's a different Art Project Facilitator. And so I'm that facilitator for this month. And what I'm going to be doing is facilitating a collage first that we will then, that's the first image part of this, and then text. Well, we're turning the collage into a poem. And then the last image will be when you share your poem with another in the group, or depending on the size of the group, possibly the whole group. But the images that come up, this comes back to the participation aspect of poetry, and what the listener then images when they're hearing the other person's poem.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that. And I've heard that that gallery, that those Make Art projects have a really good turnout, like usually about 25 people. So
great.
I'm really looking forward to hosting that.
I feel like you have a lot on the go for the next little while.
Mm-hmm,
so it's 2 years you've got this position for, and so...
It is 2 years, and anyone can contact me at any time. There is a form that suggests that 20 days notice is beneficial, and it is, because I do currently work 3 different jobs, so in order to facilitate that, it is good. But over the summer, I'll only be working 2 jobs, and... it doesn't hurt to ask me. If you if you're a last minute group that wants my presence, you know, if it's last minute, I probably can't come up with a poem.
Right.
So that request might have to be left. But just for an appearance, and I'm very good at picking out poems to read by other people, like that are appropriate for events. So I'm more than happy. In fact, it is my true pleasure to go and do that. So putting it out there that it's...
Well, what is the best way to get to get a hold of you?
It's through the Comox Valley Art Council website.
Okay.
There's an actual form. There's a little page that is the Poet Laureate page, and at the bottom on the left, there's a form, like a button for a form that you can just click
on,
follow, and fill out. It's not like crazy paperwork. It's just a few questions.
Sure. And if people want to see, I wouldn't imagine that you have your itinerary posted somewhere, but if people want to see and come out to events where you are, how do they follow that?
Facebook is the best way. There's a Poet Laureate page on Facebook.
Oh, perfect.
So I encourage everybody to become a follower.
Yeah.
Like and follow.
All right. Oh, I thought you were pointing to us that we wanted to us
you. Yes, I absolutely will.
Absolutely.
I was trying to find my phone here. I'll wait till after the show to make sure that I probably have. I just don't know if I'll have to check. But anyways, it's been very interesting talking with you. Thank you.
This has definitely been a bit of a departure topic for us. We normally talk obviously about food, or you know, the people directly responsible for creating food or growing food. And this is, we both agreed that this sort of fits right in, but we know that it's not the core.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thanks for sort of experimenting with us.
Do you want to have one last poem for sure. the road? I didn't write this one.
Absolutely.
This is by William Carlos Williams. And just because it's summer and fruit is starting to ripen, I thought this was a good one.
Perfect.
So it is called To a Poor Old Woman. Munching a plum on the street, a paper bag of them in her hand, they taste good to her. They taste good to her. They taste good to her. You can see it by the way she gives herself to the one half sucked out in her hand. Comforted, a solace of ripe plums seeming to fill the air. They taste good to her.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That was, I thought so too. A little touching because I was just looking at my neighbor's plum tree actually today going, oh.
Soon. I know I have plums actually this year too. I'm in a new home and
fantastic.
I have those big juicy yellow plums that I just can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, thank you so much, Nat.
My pleasure. Thank you for having
Natalie.
Me.
Maybe I shouldn't be so,
so casual.
Thank you, Natalie, for joining us. And I want to take a quick moment and thank everybody that helps us make the show happen. Butcher's Block and Courtney. The Atlas Cafe, of course. There's Ivan's Truffles. Kirsten Wood Music and Studio Live here in Cumberland. Yeah, thank you everybody because this show wouldn't happen without your help.
Yes, and if you want to help sponsor, you can definitely contact us. We have some great contact places to get a hold of us at. You can check out and you can like and subscribe to us at Podbean or at our website at edblevalley.com. You can get a hold of us at edblevalley@gmail.com. There's also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at edblevalley. And, of course, we do have our WordPress site, which I'm a little behind on right now, but we put a little bit more information and some more pictures and stuff like that, and that's at theedblevalley.wordpress.com. So definitely if you want to check those out. And we'd like to thank you for tuning in and listening to our show today. Love to hear back from any comments you'd like to tell us, or if there's something you want to learn about or someone you want us to talk to, we'd love to hear from you. So thanks again for listening.